It wasn't what he did that manifest righteousness. It was the fact that he believed God.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on July 16, 2025, and is titled, Believe God. Grab your Bible, and let's join Steve and the message.
You have to believe God if you're going to load your son on your back with a load of wood and a chopping axe. You have to believe that God's going to be there at the end of this journey. You have to believe that God's going to deliver. You have to believe that his word is true. You have to believe that everything you've heard from him will go just as planned. But somewhere along the way of building a boat for 110 years, there had to be a day when he looked around and went, oh, this looks stupid. I'm tired of this. Somewhere along the way, packing all that stuff up that hill, Abram had to have a moment when he says, what if I got this wrong? When that doubt begins to creep in, and that fear begins to creep in, it doesn't appear to have happened to guys like that. You see, the only reason I can tell that story is because I'm making Abram act like me. And I'm making Noah act like me. I'm making my story fit their narrative. The Bible doesn't say it was that way. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. The Bible says that Abraham believed God. He believed God. I think we got too many buts in America today. I believe God, but I want to obey God, but I'm just speaking about me. I know none of y'all act like that. I'm just having confession tonight. So right here in James 2, about verse 19, verse 18, it says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. See, this goes right back to last week. By faith, I'm called to an action. But it's through faith that I can pull it off. And he says, you believe that there is one God. See, this is the one who believes in God, believes there's a God. You believe that there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe that and tremble. That should be a little bit chilling for all of us. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect and the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. If you believe God, you're going to do something. The worst news of the day is we find ourselves doing nothing. But actually found out that we didn't believe God. Ain't that the pits? Well, I just, been going to 9 Bible studies a week since Moby Dick was a minute, but ain't much going on. Then I get to reading on all this. What happens if we're a nation that believes there is a God? We believe that God's all powerful. We believe God's all omnipotent. We believe God can do all things. But yet we don't know him good enough that we realize that we believe that there's all these things about God that are absolutely not true. I had one on the telephone. I hope he's listening tonight. Called me up a couple of days ago. He's been doing this a lot longer than I have. and gets talking about them floods down there in the river and all that stuff. And I don't like to talk about it because it just overwhelms me. I can't hardly do it. And he gets talking about here in a minute. He said, but I know God's in control of all things. And I said, hold the phone a minute. Just hold up here. I just don't play this game anymore. So you're telling me that God killed all them people, them little kids. It's his fault. No, that's not what I'm saying. I said, yeah, it's exactly what you're saying. I said, you do know that you learned that crap in church. And you just never got smart enough to outrun it. There's a difference between the grand puppeteer and a sovereign God who's king of his kingdom and owner of the universe. There's a difference between the manifest puppeteer and the free will of men that operate in the earth that's been given over to our discretion. You do realize this is all at our discretion. You see, the cosmos is our discretion. The G is his creation. That's what he owns. But we decide how it goes. Now, when he wants to intervene because he's sick of it, he will. If he wants to extend his hand of blessing because he's pleased with it, he will. But God did not get you by the ear and make you come hear this tonight. You chose. Just like you've chosen everything else in your life. And when you hear God say through his word, the power of the Holy Spirit, through his voice, and you choose to believe God, now something will happen. God said, thus saith the Lord, takes precedence over everything in our life, and it will not deviate from this word. Faith without action, some kind of manifestation, James calls it dead faith. And he asks a really good question there in the book of James. Can such faith even save you? You know what will happen to a guy if you're not careful? You'll preach 9 days a week. And you're pretty sure you're pulling it off. I haven't heard God tell me to do this in a long time. He's told me how to do it. He's told me a few things in my personal life, and I've been faithful to share every nickel of it with y'all. From limping around to COVID-19 to whatever it is, I've been faithful to share whatever it is I have believed God for. Let me tell you, I ain't your glasses and I ain't your crutch. I may be the guy who sticks his toe in the water. Maybe that'd be a better way to do this. I just put my toe in the water because I put my toe in a lot of water so that everybody would be encouraged to begin to walk these things out and try it for yourself. Test drive some stuff. Hear God and believe God. You know, we've talked a lot about our weather here lately. About 10 years ago, or maybe a little longer now, I lose track of time, but I discovered a promise in the Bible that seemed like nobody wants to talk about. The few preachers I've heard talk about it got it wrong, just point blank, twisted around to fit their billfold. But I found a promise in there, and we began to grow in that promise. Through that promise, I found my way to Passover. through some teaching of some other men and some things we participated in, Guy Walker and different ones, I was able to learn and glean some things. I just thought about this. Guy Walker was one of the first guys to really help me try to understand Passover. You know, I only did one Passover with him. We had him come here and teach. Only did one. He's not my crutch and he's not my glasses. I just needed somebody to get me started. That's what I ought to be to all of you. Somebody get you started. And so over 5 years, 5 years now, because COVID was a great time. I know it was a disaster for a lot of people, but it was the revealer. And to hear again, as a sow returns to her wallow or a dog returns to his vomit, that's exactly what Christianity did. We practiced it at 9/11 in 2001. Everybody ran to the church after they blew up the buildings. They stayed there for about 4 weeks. They realized that what I call the Tom Baudet moment. The lights were on. There wasn't nobody home. And so everybody left and went about their merry little way. And pretty soon, if you'll wake up a whole generation later, nobody even knows what 9/11 was all about. Then you come to COVID. First thing they do is they tell you, you got to shut down. Well, the Constitution said we didn't have to, so some of us didn't really buy into all that malarkey. They blew a lot of fear through a fire hose, and the whole church in America just stood up and got a big drink when we should have stood by faith. Do you know how many COVID funerals we did during all that right here? One. They didn't go here. But we did one, didn't we, Over D? Yep. Because they needed a place you could go. But we stood by faith and we believed by faith. And did we know how to do everything? But God would tell us stuff. God told us stuff and we would do it. And then he told us about the Passover and we began to participate in the Passover. The smudge was coming off our eyes and we were beginning to see some things in the Bible, some things that were important to God, some things that moved us away from the abomination, the disgusting things of our religion, so we could clearly see how the kingdom functions. And Passover has been a key to everything. So in the middle of that, every year, every spring, we would have been in a drought. Every time. So in the midst of our proclamations and the stuff we did at the county line and our prayers and all, every year God brought rain. And then it went away. And I always thought it was because of the unappreciation of the agriculture community. Oh my God, when the dust bowl's going, it seemed like every sorry son of a gun with a 12-pack of beer in the back seat of his pickup wants to pray for rain. Come on, I'm preaching good. God, I hope some of them's listening. I hope someone's got my phone number. Boy, howdy, it's hard to find anybody to stop what they're doing and tell God thank you. I thought that's what that was. I thought, oh, God, you're doing this, yet nobody appreciates what you're doing, so he stops. Nope. You know what the problem was? We don't have the ability to believe God. We're not able to believe God for things that are unbelievable. 100 years ago, you could dig a post hole in this county and you would get water. My God had a guy hit a rock with a stick one day and it turned into a water fountain. My God owns all this stuff. By the way, I think if you're a guy who scientifically wants to monkey with the stuff that belongs to God, you're asking for it. Just my opinion. I would rather believe God. But if you don't know him, I would do whatever it is you're doing. I know him, so I believe him. I believe that we now have the opportunity to live in this wonderful atmosphere we've been living in. of moisture, humidity, grass, coverage, fruitfulness, abundance. How many of y'all believe that God can do that? How many of y'all actually believe that God could change the atmosphere of ground zero for everything that's been going on correctly? I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you, we tell the truth at the cost of every billfold that comes in and out here. We don't care about your money. We don't care. I love for your attendance, but I'm not bothered by your unattendance. I'm just going to tell what God tells me to tell, and then I'm going to move on down the road. But I believe if a guy really believes that by observance of the things of God and obedience to God and doing what he says to do, that God would bless us with a fruitful land, bless us with rain, bless where we live where it's been hard. I believe that. But I also believe that if only one guy can believe that, the rest of y'all get to enjoy the benefits. Abraham was one guy. Noah was one guy. Elijah was one guy. Elisha was one guy. Caleb and Joshua, they buddied up, and there was two guys, but one guy. You know why you got to get where you can do this by yourself? Because if you'll believe for enough from God, if you'll believe what God can really do, you're going to look stupid as heck here in just a minute. And you're going to end up doing some things that look really stupid. And when you get, it's just stupid to the world. It doesn't look stupid to God. But you're going to look crazier than a run over bicycle. I mean, you, and guess what happens? You'll be standing there all by yourself. If you'll get crazy enough, they'll kick you out of a Sunday morning church service. They'll ask you to leave. You're too crazy to be a Christian in this tribe. You're nuts. But this fifth Passover, that's exactly what we believed. That's exactly how we prayed. That's exactly how we've spoken to the Lord. That's exactly how I've written it down. I believe in this oasis that we live in. I believe in this wonderful neck of the woods where we live. One quick testimony before I get to the next one. If you believe it, that's exactly how you'll speak, talk, and act. So I had a guy at the roping this weekend. Owns a lot of stuff. Lives in northern New Mexico. In charge of quite a bit of stuff. For some reason, when I walked into the room the other morning, he wanted to visit. I love this guy. We have a good time together. Don't know exactly where he is, and he's walking all that, you know. That's, sometimes it's hard to know. Doesn't matter. So we're talking in... not unlike everybody else this week. They want to talk about the river and talk about the flood and then talk about the cloud seeding. And so anyhow, we talk. He talks about all that, and I listen. And here in a minute, I told him, I said, you know, I don't know about all that. I said, there's a lot of you. You get out here in the science world, and they're all talking about cloud seeding. You get over here, if you'll get to the right Sunday school class, they all want to talk about the coming of Jesus. They all got something going on because there was a flood. And I said, let me tell you about real Christians. Real Christians saw a disaster, and they want to run to the flood. If they can't do it in person, they'll do it with their prayers. They'll do it with their finances. They'll try to comfort, try to rescue. That's how Jesus does. They don't stand around pointing fingers at everybody else and try and figure out who did what and why they did it and what caused. Bob, ain't none of you smart enough to figure it out anyhow. Everybody's just do what you ought to do. He said, you know what? That's right. And I said, do you got time for one more thing? Because he told me, he said, you know what's really weird? Man, it's been raining on our ranch for about 5 years. I said, yeah. Well, you live in a pretty good corridor, right? He said, no, I don't. It's drier than heck. And I said, well, do you got time for me to tell you my theory? He said, I sure do. And I said, I don't know if you know anything about Passover or not, but it's important to God. And so we make time for it. And we've educated ourselves in it, and there's a little group of us down here at Mule Shoe, and people listen all over the country. And I said, for 5 years we've been believing God for the rain, and he's made it rain 5 years in a row. But this year, we believe in God to change the atmosphere of where we live and to make our land fruitful and to bring the rain and to help us prosper in our agriculture and our way of life. And we're believing our God for that. So I don't know anything about airplanes and cloud seeding. I just believe in God. He said, that's good. I really like that. He hit me up a little bit later on. He said, hey, if God will do that with the rain, will he do it with our roping? I said, no, sir, missing and catching's on you. God's never roped a steer in his life. That one's on you. If we really believe God, that's how we sound. Because that's what it is in here. It's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. It's one thing to know about something, and then there's another thing to know something. Last story of the night, and this one will make more sense than all of it. We'll see how it goes over time. I'm not prophesying, and I'm not making predictions. I'm just believing God. And this morning when that scripture hit me about 4 something in the morning out there on the porch, the Lord's been getting me up pretty early every morning the last 3 or 4 days. It's been really good. He's been preparing me to not be afraid, not doubt, not worry about what people think, not worry about looking silly. And so y'all know 2 weeks ago I went in and got my eye worked on. I've had a thing on my eye, growth, that's been there. It's been there for a long time. I'm guessing about the last 10 years it's really been monkeying with my eyesight. And the last 2 or 3 years, we have just fought through glasses and stuff, and none of it's been any good, really. That, and changed doctors, and then there's a lot of things go into this, corporate buyouts with your eye doctor and stuff like that. You know, if a good private guy goes corporate, run, Forrest, run. But there's been a problem. And so when we got to this last doctor, he looks in my eye. Everybody else has looked in there. He looks in there and goes, well, you need to cut that thing off your eye. It's in the way. I said, well, it's been there a long time. And I said, everybody else looked at it. And he said, well, I'm looking at it. Tell you right now, you ought to cut that off. I said, you can do that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, plum slick. Well, I don't know about plum slick, but they got it off. And it really was pretty slick. I still got two stitches floating around in there, but it's doing really good. So I just kind of give you the background of the whole thing, what led up to this last few days. So last Wednesday, I went and did a cow sale. I had my old glasses. Oh, it just made me, it was just miserable trying to auctioneer the sale and nothing worked. And the first hour made me sick to my stomach. And so by the time I got here Wednesday night, we were kind of muddling through okay and kind of getting simmered down and okay. But the next morning I had a doctor's appointment. How many of y'all have ever encountered one of them little box checkers that was less than stellar? I drew him. Yeah, he was a dandy. I'll tell you how bad he was at box checking. He forgot to take a bath and he forgot to brush his teeth. But he showed up for work. So anyhow, he looks in my eye. He doesn't tell me anything, but it looks okay. So I said, well, Doc, I said, here's the deal. My old glasses don't work anymore. I drive a lot. My job is pretty high-stakes poker. I kind of need to be able to see. And a week ago, I couldn't see nothing. And he said, well, you can't get a prescription for another 30 days till your eye heals up. And I said, look, I ain't worried about buying an extra set of glasses that I'm only going to use for a little bit. That's fine. I need to see. He shrugged his shoulders.
Well, that concludes our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.